In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God.
Brothers and sisters, this past week in the city of Detroit, the Assembly of Bishops, all of the bishops in the United States gathered to continue their work towards administrative unity and to continue their work of spreading the Orthodox faith in this land. These meetings have been happening for a number of years. It will probably continue to happen, as nothing in the Orthodox Church happens overnight. It takes time. It takes time for us to grow into God's will for us. I want to share with you something from the life of St. Tikhon of Moscow, Enlightener of North America. I had planned, actually, to also speak about St. Innocent, who was the first bishop in North America. And he was the great enlightener of Alaska and the Aleutian peoples. But to put them both into a single sermon would not be charitable for me to you, so I will not do that. I will say just some things about St. Tikhon, and we'll focus primarily on his life in North America, his ministry here. But to get there, we have to quickly outline his early life. He was born in 1865. He was the third son of a priest in a small village. He was educated at the Pskov Theological Seminary, and then later at St. Petersburg Theological Academy. He then became an instructor and a superintendent of two different seminaries. He became a monk, and he passed through all of the ranks of priesthood, finally becoming a bishop on October 19, 1897. He was assigned as Bishop of Lublin in Poland for 1 year, and then he received his assignments in North America. He was just a young man at the time. He was about 32, 33 years old when he was assigned to America. And this was a big assignment. This was perhaps actually the biggest assignment ever given to a bishop in the history of the Orthodox Church, from the time of the apostles until now. This was the largest geographical diocese ever. 6 time zones. It stretched from Alaska, the Aleutian Islands, down to Florida. It covered all of North America. That was his diocese. Imagine that. He was assigned right in the middle of this wave of immigration, and he had a very ethnically diverse flock. He had Russians, Serbs, Galicians, Carpatho-Russians, Greeks, Romanians, Albanians, Arabs, Creoles, Indians, Aleuts, and Eskimos, and more. And beyond that, he had the job of missionizing this new world, which was filled primarily with people who were not Orthodox. The challenges for St. Tikhon were immense. But St. Tikhon was up to the challenge because he knew that Christ was the chief shepherd, and that Christ functions through his church and accomplishes all things. St. Tikhon, when he arrived in 1898, he came through New York, and he traveled immediately to San Francisco, where the cathedral was. In the year 1900, St. Tikhon changed the name of the diocese from the Aleutian Islands in Alaska to the Aleutian Islands in North America, which better corresponded to the geographical realities and to the mission. In 1902, he moved the cathedral see from San Francisco to New York, where St. Nicholas Cathedral had been consecrated. Another cathedral was consecrated in Brooklyn and Chicago and numerous places. Those of you who are familiar with this area, for instance, New York, New Jersey, Eastern PA, you visit the churches, and many of them are established during this time period that St. Tikhon was here. And then some of them you'll see on the walls an icon of St. Tikhon holding the church. He was a founder of many churches, and he oversaw the construction of these beautiful temples to our Lord God. St. Tikhon was someone who traveled frequently. You have to be if your diocese spans 6 time zones. And he met with people of all different backgrounds, and he tried to minister to them as best that he could. He knew multiple languages. He knew, in addition to Russian, Greek, and English, and he spoke to them, and he served liturgically in those languages, something that was not so common at that day. But he also knew that he couldn't do it alone, that he needed help. And he petitioned that an archimandrite named Raphael be made a bishop, and that he be an assistant to him to help minister to the Syro-Arab population. And this Bishop Raphael, who was the first consecrated on the American soil, became Bishop of Brooklyn. Now he's Saint Raphael. And Saint Raphael assisted Saint Tikhon in the work of the gospel. Additionally, Saint Tikhon had plans for Archimandrite Sebastian Dobovich. Have you ever heard of Archimandrite Sebastian Dobovich? He's one of the newly canonized saints in North America. He was of Serbian descent. And the idea was to have him made bishop to help assist with the Serbian peoples. Saint Tikhon had a plan to find these holy men and make them bishops to help minister to those people who are of their ethnic background, someone who understood their culture and their language and their customs, somebody who could be a real shepherd to them. This was the plan that Saint Tikhon had, but it didn't come to fruition, and we'll speak about that in a moment. But Saint Tikhon had other facets to this plan. He knew that for the church to be strong in America, it needed to have a monastery. Every Orthodox land finds its strength in the monasteries. And he established in South Canaan, Pennsylvania, St. Tikhon's Monastery. Who's been to St. Tikhon's? Good number of you. St. Tikhon's Monastery is a center of Orthodoxy. It's the longest continually running Orthodox monastery in America. And St. Tikhon himself gave $1,000 for the purchase of this property. Now, that seems like not too much nowadays, but that was significant. In fact, that was half of the cost of the property. St. Tikhon also knew that the church needed a seminary here. And he established the first seminary in Minneapolis. I actually had an occasion recently to visit Minneapolis, which is something of a center of Orthodoxy as well. St. Mary's Cathedral with St. Alexis Toth. And this is a wonderful place for Orthodox in Minneapolis. He established the seminary there, which later moved to Tenafly, New Jersey, and then to New York City, and then it was closed. But that idea, that vision of St. Tikhon to have a seminary that would produce pastors for the flock, kind of was resurrected at that monastery that he founded. At St. Tikhon's monastery, they established St. Tikhon's seminary. St. Tikhon was a man who knew languages, but he knew that the American peoples, they knew their own as immigrants, and they knew English. And he saw English as the primary vehicle by which the Orthodox faith could be spread. He commissioned Isabel Hapgood to translate the first Orthodox service book into English in 1906. St. Tikhon was way ahead of his time. Well, we all know Orthodox churches that struggle to move to English even nowadays, more than a century later. And St. Tikhon knew the importance, because how could you missionize people if you can't speak their language? In 1907, something historic happens. It was the first All-American Council in Mayfield, Pennsylvania. And why was it historic? Because it included both clergy and laity. In the Orthodox Church, it was not the custom to have councils that included clergy and laity. St. Tikhon knew the American situation, though. And he knew that in this particular land, it was necessary to incorporate the laity into these councils. And the first All-American Council was held there in Mayfield, PA, with clergy and laity. And the theme of that council was how to expand the mission. St. Tikhon knew that it wasn't just about the work of the clergy. It was about the work of the clergy and laity together. If things were going to succeed in this land for the church, both had to cooperate. Both had to help each other. And actually, at this time, there were some difficulties. There were difficulties because with the immigrant population, they were looking to establish churches, and with one single bishop, that was a little bit difficult. The traditional method of a bishop establishing a church in this place or that place didn't happen. People hired priests from the old country, and they established their own parishes, and they incorporated them under themselves. And a board of trustees oversaw all of that. And the laity had full control over the church. This was not an Orthodox model. St. Ticon encouraged the laity in those parishes to work with their clergy, to come under a local bishop, to have that Orthodox strength that it includes the unity of the bishops, the priests, and the lay people. And it took time. There are even some parishes that haven't yet come out of an unorthodox model, that are still run by a board. But many have, and many have achieved a certain level of healthy church life because of it. It was ironic, though, that St. Ticon, although he called this meeting, and he set the theme and the agenda, and he gave his counsel to the meeting, he was not able to attend. Because in 1907, he was called back to Russia. He was assigned to Yaroslav, and then he went to Vilna in Lithuania, and then, as we know, he became Patriarch of Moscow. As we sung in the hymn, he was elected by divine providence. He became the first patriarch in many years to head the Russian church. And he served that church in its most turbulent times, with the Bolshevik Revolution, the coming of communism. St. Ticon served that church as Christ served his church. He laid down his life for that church, and he became a confessor of Orthodoxy. St. Ticon reposed, 1925. When we look at the life of St. Ticon, there is so much that speaks to us. You know, there are certain time periods in history, in American history, where we can't think of those time periods without certain people. We can't think of the Revolutionary War without George Washington, the Civil War, and the freedom of the slaves without Abraham Lincoln. We can't think of these time periods without these people. And you can't think of the establishment of Orthodoxy in the lower 48 without St. Ticon. It's impossible. Because he was chosen by God providentially not just to be the Patriarch of Moscow, but to be the Enlightener of North America. He was chosen to be that wise master builder that laid the foundation for us here in the lower 48. He had a certain vision, like an eagle soaring above and seeing from a heavenly perspective what needed to be done here. St. Ticon was chosen by God to be the master builder of Orthodoxy in America, especially in the lower 48. And he gives us so many things of instruction. I want to speak about four. The first is that our Orthodox tradition is a living tradition. We are not handed down from the previous generations, from our fathers and mothers, artifacts that are preserved in a museum. We're not handed down something that's just written in books, collecting dust. We're handed down the Spirit of God in the church. And we have to be enlivened by that Spirit and live the faith of our fathers, of our ancestors. St. Ticon showed this in the ingenuity he had in the administrative structure that he set up. The idea that you can have bishops of all different ethnic backgrounds working administratively together. In the Orthodox world, bishops are assigned dioceses based on geography. And they minister to all the faithful within those geographical bounds, no matter what the ethnicity. St. Ticon realized that would not work here in America. He saw that the people were so diverse that you needed to have bishops who understood those local traditions and customs, who spoke those languages. So he set up a system where the bishops would minister to those people whom they understood best. And this was an anomaly. This was not the Orthodox custom. And yet, it was working. That may not be the model for us today, but it was for St. Ticon's time, and he knew that. St. Ticon also advised that the quote-unquote secret prayers, the prayers of the anaphora, the prayers of the bowing of the heads, that they be done out loud. There was a time in the church where these prayers were suppressed, that people would not hear these beautiful prayers. St. Tikhon advised that they be done out loud. St. Tikhon suggested that the church in North America consider adopting the new calendar. This was extraordinary, because the Church of Russia is still on the old calendar, more than a century later. But St. Tikhon at the time suggested that the Church of Russia consider the church in America to adopt the new calendar, because things were different here. He was alive in the tradition of the church. Secondly, Catholicity. That word is often associated with Rome for most people, at least those who are not Orthodox. But for those who are Orthodox, we go back a little bit further. We understand Catholicity to mean universality. And St. Tikhon knew that the Orthodox faith that preceded the break-off of Rome was Catholic in the full sense of the word. That Orthodox Christian faith could be lived out everywhere and by everyone, no matter the language or the culture. That no ethnicity had a lock on the truth. No ethnicity should be subordinated. And this is something that, unfortunately, we still struggle with today. Third, lay participation. I mentioned the council, the All-American Council, the first of its kind. But St. Tikhon also relied on lay people at all of the different parishes and missions that he visited. He knew that the church could not function without them. Performing ministries in the church, directing the choir, singing in the choir, serving in the altar, being ushers, being on parish councils, different committees. He knew that it was the lay people who would be the primary financial supporters of the church. The money that was coming from Russia was minimal to pay the clergy. He knew that it was the lay people who would have to invest themselves in the life of the church and support it for it to thrive. And they did. These churches that were built, they weren't built from money from abroad. They were built by the people of this land, by the lay people of this land, who gave self-sacrificially to build up the church. St. Tikhon cooperated with them. Finally, autocephaly. Who knows what that word means? Not too many. Autocephaly means self-headed. An autocephalous church is one that elects its own primate. An autocephalous church is not tied to any other church. It's the highest level of maturity, ecclesiastically, that a church can reach. St. Tikhon knew that for the church in America to blossom and to thrive, it had to be autocephalous. The strings that many of the parishes had that tied them back to the old country, they needed to be cut. Those parishes needed to be part, administratively, of one structure. And that those bishops needed to sit together on that same council and elect their own head. Not in disunity with the Orthodox world, but in unity with them, as sister churches, as co-equals. This was the model that Christ gave to the apostles, that they were to be co-equals. And this was the model that he preserved from generation to generation thereafter for Orthodox bishops and churches around the world, that they were to be co-equals. And he knew that the American church needed to develop into an autocephalous church. St. Tikhon is an example for us of what it is to be a godly hierarch in the American context. Now, I know we might say, well, Father, you're preaching to the wrong group here. No bishops here. And yet, maybe there are bishops here. We don't know what the future is for our young people. But St. Tikhon, again, knew that the church was more than just bishops. The church was everybody. And it was everybody's responsibility to expand the mission. All of us have to be cognizant of this view, this heavenly vision, for the church in America. We need to soar with him. This past week I mentioned in the city of Detroit, our bishops met. to continue their work, to continue the work of St. Tikhon, to continue the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us be people who cooperate with them, who help them, who pray for them, who do everything that we can to continue the work done before us. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God.